him into bingo, I don't know.
Well, sit down and tell me that again. You said you were born. The machine wasn't on. I didn't have the machine working when you said that.
No.
And I would love to have you say that again.
Yeah, my parents are inland people. And I was born between Colville, right by the Colville anyway. I was born in Ocean Point, at the Colville, part of Colville. But I was mostly trip with my dad and my mother by Itkillick River up to the Brook Range. Not all the way to the Brook Range, right where the forks of river, Itkillick River, it's just far as we can travel with the canoe summertime.
I see. Now, I fished on the Itkillick River over, it's the first river east of the Sagavanirktok River.
No.
No?
No, right by the Colville.
Oh, it is right by the Colville?
Yeah.
I see.
It's the first river you hit from mouth of Colville. Oliktuk.
Yes.
You're going in there. The first river you hit, and you travel by the Colville, and then the river was toward the street, toward the mountain.
Yes.
Brook Range.
Yes.
And we trip by summertime in that Itkillick River.
I see.
And we stopped by where the people used to stop before a lot of people
keep
travel.
I just want to see why this is making a noise.
They left the canoe right by where the forks of a river. They wait for the trees up the river.
Yes.
In September, middle of September, they leave the canoe. Several people start to travel along Itkillick River all the way to a Brook Range.
Is that so?
By dog sled, up to freeze up. Leave canoe down there in the forks. And they couldn't travel past the forks because it's too shallow.
I see.
River in there, you know. And they have to wait for freeze up the river.
Now, when you say canoe,
with the dog sled,
do you mean kayak, or do you when you say canoe? What do you mean?
Canoe is umiak.
You mean umiak?
Yeah.
You mean a skin-covered open boat?
Skin-covered open boat, 7 bearded sealskin covered umiak was about 30 feet long.
It was.
Yeah, it was about
5 feet
wide. Some of them are 6 feet wide.
And it would have a maybe 2 or 3 foot draft?
Huh?
Would it draw 3 or 4 feet of water? It would be 3 or 4 feet?
No, it's only, when it empties, it draw only about half a foot.
I see.
It's
very light.
It's floating, very light. Framed with the driftwood, and then covered with the abetted sealskin. And 30 feet long.
Did your parents and did the people camp on the ocean shore in the summertime?
Well, we come down to the mouth of a river, summertime. Wait for the traders from Barrow. As Charlie Brower send the people from Nubuck in Barrow Village with the whaling boat, sailboat, and canoes. Bring all the all they can haul, flour, sugar, you know, something like that. We don't have it up there. There's no store up there. No white people nowhere. And then when the traders arrival from Barrow, we trade. My dad trading and my uncle and then the other people. There's about 20 families in there wait for their traders at the Colville. Of mouth, the traders from Barrow, they wait. around the middle of July. They arrive in there, in the Colville, where the people wait, and they trade. We are which they bring along in their boat to the trade with.
What would
Eskimos
they bring to trade?
Up there, huh?
What would the Eskimos use for trade?
Fox skin, inland people, red fox, cross fox, silver gray, wolverine, wolf, and summer skin of caribou. For trade with Eskimos from Barrow traders, used for skin, you know, for clothing.
Yes.
Long ago. I was 1917, I remember. A lot of people hunting all winter up there inland. All over, they scattered all over Kitlick River, Colville River, Kanganik River, Sakwalik River, and Anaktuvuk River, Ninmulik River, and some along in the main river of Colville. They stay all winter trapping and hunting. Summertime, they hunt caribou while they were. Thin fur, you know, to make a clothes, parka, pants for the Eskimo clothing, you know.
Did they scrape the hair off the skin or keep
no.
the hair on it? Kept the hair on it?
No, leave the hair on like this, like the way they kill. They start hunting and they just watch it close, you know, the whenever the. The hair long enough for to keep warm in a cool day in the winter, and they start hunting. Now they tried the skin, a lot of skin there, and bring down to the mouth of a Colville in springtime whenever the ice break of a river, trip down to their canoe where they left it. And they went up to, before they went up to the Proof Range, near the Proof Range, some of them, caribou hunting. Carried in their back, you know.
Yeah.
I was a very small boy. We had a big dog, you know. They had a backpack in each one of them.
Oh, I see.
When I get tired, they put me on the back of a dog.
They did.
They tie me in the back of a dog, big dog, you know. I was to ride with the dog, you know.
Sitting on his back?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yeah. I would sleep sometime and ride in the back of a dog, you know. Yeah.
Those are big dogs.
Oh, yeah. We had a big dog, a husky big dog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometime I was ride on my my papa, my dad. He carried about 150 pounds in his back. He set me on top there. I was just riding my dad, carried by my dad, you know, all day sometime.
Mr. Sovelik, at that time, you know, today the women all wear cloth parkies of bright colors. But what did the women wear then?
Long ago?
Yes, that time.
Oh, they wear caribou height, inland people, caribou height parka. Women wear, and the man.
Was it a little bit long and cut up high on each side like that?
Yeah, used to, a long time ago.
That's the old way they wore
them. And they changed, when I was a big boy growing up, they changed to straight. They don't use that thing.
The cut.
The cut on the sides, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that would be much easier to walk with that cut up the side like that.
I don't know.
I was thinking,
it might be.
When you have a long parkie, it kind of, when you take a long stride, I think, I was thinking of you packing over the mountains, you know, it's easier to walk if it's open a little bit there.
Yeah, that's The old days, people lived hard, you know.
Yes.
When I look back, I was a small kid. Hard life, very hard life. My people travel all the time, summer and the winter. Summertime, they use just a backpack, you know.
How did they put the pack on? Did they have a frame?
No frame. No? They use only straps, white straps of a caribou skin. Tie them onto the thing they carry, and then they put another strap right in the head.
They did.
Tie them down to the back. Carry them on. Help from the head, you know, the backpack. So yes. Down here a little lighter.
Yes.
And when you put the something on in your head.
Did it go over the top or around the forehead?
Right in the forehead.
Right around the forehead.
Yeah. Almost the top, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the way the people live.
That was a hard life.
Yeah.
Then,
very hard life.
Then summer camp was down on the rivers, down low.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, and by boat. Where did the Ugruk skins come from?
Point Barrow.
By trade.
Mm-hmm.
I see. The people.
Point Barrow Eskimos. They bring a lot of Ugruk skin for the trade with the inland people. And then they trade with the canoe sometime, with a frame.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they have partners from inland.
They do.
From Point Barrow.
Yes.
Who people hunting bearded seal skin. And then the poor people stay down there. They can make a canoe frame with a driftwood.
Yeah.
Wash the driftwood on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make a frame for their canoe.
And then the partner, the Nunavut partner.
Yeah.
And he hunts for the reindeer.
Yeah, they hunt for caribou. The caribou.
Caribou.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And wolverine, I suppose.
Yeah, wolverine.
Wolf.
Silver gray, ross fox, red fox, no white fox. Way up
inland. White fox.
No white fox. Just red and cross fox and silver gray.
I see.
Lynkat up there too in the winter, in summer.
Hmm.
Summertime not very good.
Six
but
up
winter
there.
Time they were good. Yeah.
Massasauk.
Hmm?
You need a match?
I got a lot of someplace here.
Oh, you're sitting on it.
Yeah, that I knew about the hard way to live a long time ago. 1910, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. My mother died 1915, and I raised her in my daddy. I got adopted sister. I'm only one child in my parents.
You mean your mother only had one child?
Yeah.
Oh. And she took a baby. She took a girl child.
Yeah, the girl from the other families adopted. A little bit older than me.
Oh, I see. So there were two of you.
Yeah.
And your father, you were how old were you when your mother died?
I was about 12, somewhere around 12 years mm-hmm. old. Yeah.
Mm.
I started hunting ptarmigan and with the ball, you know, and fishing with a jerky hook, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not big enough for caribou hunting, so otherwise I don't have a gun, you know. My dad got a gun, just one gun. 30-30.
Yes.
44 one time, and got one shotgun.
Yeah, three guns then.
Yeah.
He had a lot of guns.
But, well,
but you were shooting ptarmigan with bow and arrow.
Yeah, we don't have a shell sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Out of powder, out of shells, you know, out of a pellet for a shotgun.
Yes.
We had to use only lead melted on the fire, and we had a malt for the making a bullet for a rifle.
You did?
Yeah, my dad.
Yes, he had one.
Yeah, he had one.
He would get that, have gotten that from Brower, maybe?
Yeah, Barrow, from Barrow Traders, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Barrow Traders, they bring a lot of lead and black powder and primer to make a loaded.
So he loaded his own shells.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, when you went inland, were you always following the caribou? Is that why you were moving?
That's what we do. We're moving all the time.
Staying with them?
Yeah. Not many caribou long ago.
No.
Not too many. When the caribou move, we have to move, come closer to the big herd, the caribou, to them, you know. We use it for food. We use them for food for ourselves.
Yes.
When the time flour's gone, sugar gone, tea is gone, we only use meat.
Yes.
Caribou meat, mountain sheep, fish.
Did you dry the fish? Did you dry any meat and carry dried meat?
Yeah, only what you do, we keep the food from spoil. Inland people, they don't have any thermofrost to make ice cellars.
Oh.
Because that gravel down there can't duck in it after freeze up.
I see. You can't dig into it.
No ice down there.
And there's no permafrost in those mountains.
No permafrost. Just a gravel rock down there.
I see.
Yeah. Can't duck it with the pick or something, you know.
Yes. Now, what kind of just wondering what he's doing.
How does somebody make honey bucket?
Oh. Sure. Beating the drum.
Yeah, that's the 50-gallon drums, you know. Make a hole.
I see what
with
he's
the
doing. With the axe.
That's what it makes it noise out there.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of house did you have?
We make a house a frame with, wintertime, we make a house a frame with the willows.
You do?
Heavy willows. A lot of heavy willows are inland, way up inland up there.
I see. And they're big enough to make a frame?
Yeah.
Do you have to tie them together?
Tie them together and cover it with the caribou hide.
I see.
And then we put the moss on top and then snow on top.
Oh, I see.
When we settle down in the winter.
Oh, that makes a good shelter then.
Yeah.
That's good and warm. Well, how long could you stay in one place in the winter?
We stay sometime one place when we settle down at the brook range where the mountain sheep, we can hunt in there when the caribou is gone.
Yes.
We know where the brook range up to the timber line, you know.
Yes.
Where the trees.
Yes.
Over the brook range.
Yes.
There's no caribou on Arctic Slope.
No.
They're all gone.
They go down over to the Yukon Valley or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have to stop, make a shot house, and skin covered house, just like a hut, you know. They frame it up with the like ribs, with the willows, heavy willows,
yes,
tied together,
yes,
and then cover it up with the moss and skin and moss
and the snow. And then that's a semi permanent house. Then I mean, you stay in that for quite a while then.
Oh yeah,
through the winter.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable?
Very much so.
We don't have stove sometime. I was a kid, I remember. There's no stove, no metal. Nothing to make a stove.
Yes.
In the evening, before we go to bed, we make a fire. We got big lumps of rock and put them in the fire. Make it real hot, several of them.
Yes.
And then we got something to carry it with, caribou antlers.
Yes.
It's like that, you know, tied together.
Yes.
And then rig it out with the from the fire, take it inside the house, all of them, pile them up in there in the middle. Keep us all night real warm.
That's the way you warmed it up.
Yeah, just the rock.
I've taken a hot rock in my sleeping bag, but I've never warmed a whole tent with them.
No.
No, but that would work.
Oh, you had to make it. You had to make a fire.
Yeah.
Make it real hot and stay warm a long while. There's several of them pile up together, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have birds at all? Were there any birds to hunt besides ptarmigan? Were there any birds to hunt?
Well, we had geese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, geese.
In the fall?
And amber geese and white fennec geese and Canadian goose. They were nesting in the summer up there in the rivers, you know.
Yes.
When they're molting, we hunt them a lot, you know.
I see.
When they molt.
Can you keep them?
Yeah.
How can you keep that meat? Is there any way to keep it?
We only keep the meat. They hang them on the rack, take the indies out.
Yes.
They stay longer before they get the too much strong, smelly.
Yes.
You know,
they're
getting rot. It stayed long while in good shape to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep a lot of caribou meat, which we dry them up summertime.
Lots of dried meat.
Yeah. And early in the fall, my dad hunted a lot of caribou, and then we have a lot of meat all winter. And we settle down. And then we have to stop near the hot spring in the Brook Range, open all the time in the river, where we can fishing grayling and little salmon.
Char, maybe?
Yeah, char, yeah. River char.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have fresh salmon in the winter too?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
It sounds like some years, you know, if you had a lot of meat, it would be a very good life. But some years, if you don't have enough, boy, I bet it could be rough.
Well, I think it's all right. People know how to use it. I race with it myself and my dad, though, and some other people. A lot of people, they live on the meat, nothing but meat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But we use a lot of fat, though. You know, caribou fat?
Yes.
Only we can get the grease, you know.
What did you use for the bags? Like the people along the coast use walrus stomachs and seal stomachs for bags. And
for what?
For carrying things, you know, like the, well, greens. They put down. They'll take the walrus stomach, you know, for a bag, for a sack, and then fill it full of greens and seal oil.
Oh yeah, yeah. Coast people, they make seal skin bag for seal oil, making seal oil, oil oil, fill it up with the oil blubber, and then melt in there, you know, and then come on the oil, you know, in a bag of seal skin.
But did you make oil like that? Did you have some way to make the oil? The same way with reindeer fat?
Inland people, we only use the fat of caribou fat, and then we melted the caribou fat. In the caribou, the lake marrow, break it up several of caribou lakes and put them together. We use caribou stomach, clean them up, and then we fill them up with the grease or fat, you know, melt it on a big pot and fill them up and freeze it. And we use it for when we're eating.
I see.
Caribou fat grease. You know, sometimes we use fat of grizzly bear.
Yes, that
before,
should be
before
good.
Before they were hibernating, they were coming a lot of fat, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad hunt grizzly bear before they hibernating, and then we saved the
fat.
Yeah, for.
Did you eat the grizzly bear meat?
Oh yeah.
How did you eat that?
Boil it.
You do?
Yeah.
You didn't eat it raw?
No. No, they're not good to eat in raw. We eat in raw caribou meat and mountain sheep meat, and we eat the raw fish, but we don't eat the raw of squirrels. We hunt a lot of squirrels, ground squirrels, marmots, and grizzly bear. We're not eating them raw. You're not too good to eat in raw, you know.
That's right. You know, it can be very bad with that. They have the trichinosis in the bear, like you have in the...
Yeah, we got to boil them.
In pig's meat?
Yeah, we got to boil them.
Yeah.
My mother got one big pot. for boiling a meat, you know, about at least 2.5 feet high and top around maybe 16 inch diameter.
What was it made of?
My copper.
Oh, was it copper pot?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know where they get it at, the pot. I never know.
The Russians might have traded, you know.
Maybe so. Several people, that same kind of a pot, you know.
Is that so?
They travel with it in winter and summer.
Always. I wonder what they did before they had the copper pots.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they make some kind of a mutt, make it hard.
Oh, yes, they did. They make pottery. They make pots with mutt.
They make a pot with the mutt.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they have to mix with the blood of an animal. Mix it with.
You mix the mud with the blood.
Yeah, and then dried. And a fetish of a bird. Geese fetish or a ptarmigan fetish mixed with. And then malt it together. Oh. And then till it gets real dry.
I see.
Yeah. The fetish hold it from breaking.
I see.
And just like a muscle, you know.
Yes.
And then the blood makes it harder, not easier break, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Did you ever see them make the pots?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, where did they get the clay? Where was the mud? Where did the mud come from?
Well, we get the mud from the river, real gummy mud from the edge of the river. Where marsh was...
Was there any special
under the
place?
Big marsh down there, you know. Huh?
Would there be any special place? Like, I mean, sometimes there are deposits of clay, you know, the special kind of mud that's very good for pots. And, and people go back there every year maybe to get that kind of clay.
Yeah. They use a lot of clay, from the rivers,
But I was wondering if they could use just mud from anywhere under the...
Well, they don't find any regular clay. They have to use a mud.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So they did the best they could.
Yeah, clay is a better kind to make a pot, you know, anything you can make.
I've seen pieces of that pottery that's been brought in, you know, but I've never seen a whole bowl, but just pieces are left, you know, because they don't make it anymore. And then sometimes the pieces have a little design on the edge. I think they used a stick sometimes with a little design on the stick when they hit it to shape it. Did the Nunavut people do that at all? When they make the edge, they pat the edge with a stick that has a little cutout design on the wood. And then when they hit it, that makes that design on the pot. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I see that.
Because the pieces of pottery that I've seen sometimes had that little stamp mark on them.
Sometimes they use willows, knit together, and then they put a clay inside.
And press it up against the willow
like
a net.
Right.
Oh, how interesting. How about the nets for fishing?
Net?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No nets.
Inland people, they don't have a net. I remember my dad has one, the net for the ptarmigan. Wave it up sinew. Of caribou, and knit it, and then making a ptarmigan net, you know.
He did.
But long ago, nobody have. I don't think anybody got any fish net made or gill net. I mean, summertime.
Yeah.
In the river.
Did you ever have any real bad experiences? Any bears chase you?
What?
Did you ever have any real? Were you ever scared, you know, when you were a boy traveling with your father?
Yeah.
Did you ever, did anything ever, what kind of experience might be, you know, to scare you? Like, did the bears ever bother you? Or did you ever fall through a river? If I talked to, one time I was talking to a man, he was a white man, you know.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how the ice broke with him and he went through and he had narrow escape. That's the word I want.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me he had, you know, several different things happened that he had narrow escapes that things happened that were very dangerous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering, do you ever have this sort of, did you ever have anything like that happen to you?
Oh, maybe some people they do, and I keep up myself. I always keep out from it where danger or sometimes rivers start to freeze up, call it the thin ice.
You stay off of it.
Stay out of it.
You stay off.
Yeah.
And you didn't get any bears. No bears come after you.
Well. Well, you're not to fool around with the bears, you know. They're not to pay no attention to you. They look at you, but they not bother you.
I see.
But when you're fond of it, when you're fond of them, where a piece of rock they hit it, they get mad, they charge, you know.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The only way.
Yes.
When you don't bother them, they don't bother you.
I see. I've heard stories about people that were out, that the wolf pack, you know, they would be going with their dog team, and the wolf pack came after them.
Only I know, I can tell you, the crystal bear, when they were asleep, you caught them in sleep sometime, you don't see it behind the bushes, you know, the inside the willows, you can't see the big bear was laying in sleep and sunshine.
Yes.
You're hunting sometime... Or travel sometime looking for something caribou in the river.
Yes.
You find the crystal bear was asleep real close. When he woke up about 15 feet away sometime from you while you were asleep, and he woke up and then get up quick, you know?
Yeah.
And then stand up on the hand legs and ready to what you call it, the jump on top of you, see?
Yes.
But people been learned from the relation, the related from a long time, from their grandmas and great-great grandpas, great-great grandmas, their grandmothers and their parents, and they always thought them. I was dead. My dad, taught me, show me how to do when I went out to hunting by myself.
Yes.
With only bow and arrow sometimes, summertime, you know. Hunt the young ptarmigan with my bow and arrow. Well, he told me, if you run into the sleep grizzly bear when you don't see it, maybe 15 feet away from you, you get up and then start to charge. You take your parka off right away. You make it just the skin, you know. Take your parka off quick and stand up and still in there in the front of him. Just look at him. And the bear was to look at you. They don't fight the skin.
That's something to know.
Some women they are going out to pick up.
I pick berries.
Pick up a parish in summertime.
Yes.
And then some of them they get into the crystal bear while they sleep.
Yes.
The lady was to just take the parka off and stand up like that, and they had a pants all right. But a top down here and then new shirt, the skin.
Just that bare skin.
Just the skin in there.
Yes.
Yeah? That take the puck off and standing in there.
And then the bear won't come.
Bear looking at him and turning around went away.
Is that so? Yeah. And that happened. Boy, I'll remember that. Because I'm kind of scared of bears. I get out.
The old days, that's the way the people live, you know.
Yes.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared of bears. I wouldn't want one to come after me, you know. They're pretty big.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of big teeth and a lot of big claws.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And then, when you fool around with them, they just charge you. You don't,
well,
you don't bother them, they don't bother you either.
Yes, I think that's true. I think it's if you get in between, mostly if it's a mother bear with her babies.
Yeah, when you hurt him with a rock or something, throw it on him, and they jump on you quick.
Yeah, no, I see. I suppose there are some people that might throw a rock at them to make them go away, and that really isn't the thing to do.
Scare a grizzly bear with a rock, you know. They get mad quick.
Well, I will never throw any grizzly bears at rocks. Well, when you came down to the coast in the summertime, then and to trade and to fish and to hunt along the river, would you camp along the river to fish?
Yeah.
And how did you fish? How did your father catch fish?
I was talking about before I was born.
Yes.
The people lived like that.
Yes, I see.
And then after I started to know, the people was been trading all the time. When I started to know, they wait for the traders from Barrow, from
yes.
Charlie Brower.
Yes.
Bring the supply, sugar, flour, and some tea. No coffee. Long ago, no coffee.
Oh.
Some tobacco to make a smoke, and the molasses and brown sugar.
Oh.
No white sugar. Long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And hot bread. They had hot bread.
Hard bread.
Lots of flour.
Yes.
Yeah. And then finally, later on, now we start to see the white sugar.
Oh. How about tobacco? I heard that the Eskimo people had tobacco that came from Siberia.
Long time ago.
And a long time ago.
Yeah. Long time ago, before Charlie Brower.
Yes.
Started trading at Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Siberian people bring the tobacco across from Russian country, from Siberian to Anum.
Oh.
Capers and whales.
Yes.
And the capers and whales people, they use a big canoe and sailing across from Sismarav to Point Hope. And they trade with the Point Hope people with nothing but tobacco.
They did.
And in the Point Hope people, they trade some tobacco to a Point Barrow, Yudukuk River, in a Kachapoo.
I see.
That way, tobacco is scattered all over from Siberia.
From Siberia.
Yeah.
Did the Nunavut people go into Point Hope and trade in Point Hope?
Well, Charlie Brower, I don't know. Before that, how did they do? How did they do get the tobacco? Maybe coast people carrying around a trade with the tobacco.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, did you ever hear of the inland people going in toward Point Hope? Or did they only go north to the Colville, or did they only go into Barrow?
Well, some people went to Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
From Nunavut, when they get down by the river in summertime, and they trip down to the Barrow, Point Barrow, or dog sled sometime in the winter.
How about the Kivalina side? Did the Nunavut people go down the Noatak River into Noatak and Kivalina?
Yeah, Kivalina people, and they went to the Point Hope.
Yeah.
And then Noatak River people go down to Kachapoo, Kupak people, and Guyana, and all over in the Kupak people come down to the Kachapoo. And they trade a lot of tobacco from there.
I see.
Yeah.
I was wondering then, up in the mountains, did the Nunavut people ever get together at any special time, once a year, maybe all meet together in any way? Or like in the spring or the fall?
Yeah, they do, some of them.
Because there were quite a few different groups of Nunavut, were there?
Yeah.
Weren't there a lot of little groups
mm-hmm.
all over through the mountains?
Right, right. Well, they get winter supply, anyway, part of a year they can use it. They trade from traders from Barrow, and then, not enough for a whole winter. 200-300 pound flour or something like that, maybe 50 pound of sugar, maybe I would say 4 or 5 pound tea.
Not really a lot.
No, that's not enough. They drink a lot of tea.
Yes?
Yeah.
Miksuli.
You have to eat a lot of meat. You have to have a cup of tea.
Sure.
Even no sugar, they could.
How about the women picking greens in the early days? Was there anything they used for tea before they had Chinese tea or Oriental tea?
No. After the people find out about that tea from the whalers a long time ago, and then they run out the tea, they found the leaves in inland.
Yes.
They roast it a little bit in the fire.
Oh.
And then they use it for making tea. Anyway, making colored tea, you know, and boiling tea.
Yes.
Yeah. Boiling water.
Mm-hmm. A lot of greens.
They're not as good as regular made tea, all right, but anyway.
Something to drink.
Something to drink, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened when your mother died and then you had a sister? And your father and your sister and you, the three of you, were together then?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was there anybody else with you?
Sometime. My uncle and my auntie, we are all together. Winter time, when we settle down, stay all the winter there. Together.
And is that all?
That all, sometimes, yeah. Gee. Only two families there.
That's not very many.
No.
That's a small group.
Well, sometimes travel people are visiting us too from someplace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get together and have Eskimo dances then?
Well, yeah.
You come down to Fairbanks, don't you, to the Eskimo Olympics?
Yeah, most every summer, yeah.
Yes,
Eskimo Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I recognize you.
Yeah,
you're
I did.
You're a good singer and a good dancer.
Last summer I didn't go there. I went to the other way, to Canada.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
To Inuvik?
Yeah, Inuvik. And last summer we went to the... we didn't stop much long over here at the Inuvik. We just stopped there a little while and another 200 miles from Inuvik to Good Hope. McGansett River, Indian Village. We were going in there.
From you Inuvik, did?
From Inuvik, Aklavik, and Tuktoyaktuk, and Cambridge Bay, and Natchillik, copper mine people. Few people from the different places, you know, and from the McKenzie and Red River and Klavik
And you all got together?
Yeah, we all get together there at the one place. Play games, you know, Eskimo dancing, Indian dancing, and...
Gee, I wish I'd known about that. I'd like to go over there and see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Eat a lot of meat. Get it from every places, you know. Beluga meat from the Coast people. Beluga muktuk from Coast people. Mm-hmm. And fish, a lot of dried fish from Indians, and a lot of raw frozen fish from Indian McKenzie River. Yeah, we eat a lot of meat there.
Had a good time. It sounds like you had a great feast.
Play games all day.
Now, did you play games? When did you have time to play games? If you were your father and your sister and you, and your aunt and uncle, who did you play games with when you were a boy?
Well, we learned from our parents, you know, from our fathers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad and my uncle, they showed us how to use, what kind of a game we can play, you know, we learned, so we use it.
But gee, you were pretty much alone. I mean, the people living in the coastal villages had other kids to play with.
And yeah, not too much of playing in the winter. We mostly use string play in the evening, you know.
Yes, I've seen that.
Uh-huh.
We call them cat's cradles.
Ayahuac.
How do you call it?
Ayahuac.
Ayahuac.
Yeah, Ayahuac. We play a lot, all kind of make animals, you know, make a star or anything with the string, you know, make a wolf and make a fox. And just we learn from our parents, you know, how to play.
Yes, my grandmother knew how to do that. Yeah. I never learned how very well. I was trying to do
a little story each one, you know, what kind of what did that mean, that thing you made in your hair in string. you make a fox, and they add a little story in it, few words, you know. Yeah, like that. You make brown bear and wolf, stars, little mouse, and seals, or manhunter, or something like that. Lots of...
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, a little nest of a bird. Little story, the wind blowed away, a little nest, you know, on little birds have built it on a little tree. Big wind come blowed away, and then and mama was crying for little eggs blowed away with a net.
And then
nest,
and then it dissolves.
Yeah.
And then it all falls apart.
Yeah, yeah. Story, something like that.
Well, now, how about contests? Down along the coast, high kicking and Nalikatuk, the high jump and stuff. There's kind of a contest that people do.
Well, only the where people stay whaling, like a point barrel.
Yes.
Yeah, the people whaling from long time in there at the point barrel. Nalikatuk is just a celebration for whaling's over. You know, yes. People having big fish, you know, and in blanket tars after the whaling's over.
Mr. Sovenfluck.
Not inland people.
No. Did they have any ceremonies for the caribou? About
no.
The caribou or about the bear?
Only I know it's caribou ceremony springtime when the ice start break the water started running from the mountain real fast along the river on top of the ice.
Yes.
And then the people take all kind of fat of which they are left over from all winter.
Yes.
Caribou fat. Yes. Haul it down there and throw it into the river.
Oh.
That's only the ceremony of inland I know, or inland people.
But it was a kind of a ceremony.
Yeah.
They did that.
It's sort of fat into the water, you know, so water trip away with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you have Ongatkuk?
Huh?
Did the Nunavut people have any kind of, I said Ongatkuk.
Oh, yeah, Ongatkuk.
Shaman?
Mm-hmm.
I heard that there were many ways that the people could talk through their minds at a distance, like mental telepathy, telephone in the head.
Yeah, magician people, what you call it, the witch doctor or something like that. Yeah. Ongatkuk, we call it. Quite a few,
Most of the older people?
Yeah, most of the older people. Mm-hmm. I was a kid, I used to watch them, they do.
Well, what would they do?
Well, they sing for the caribou sometime, you know. Or sometimes they just use the drum, you know, singing real, some kind of unusual, never people know it, you know, the people using it in by...
Well, they had their own special songs.
Yeah.
Nobody else could use it.
Nobody else to do it. Mm-hmm. They use it for the witch, the Ongatkuk life. Just like when you're sick, when a person's sick, Ongatkuk, sick man or a sick woman, relative, or give him a present, or maybe give him a new muklak or a new gloves made out of caribou hide, or some little tobacco or anything, or maybe give him a skin, caribou summer skin for the making paka.
Yes.
Or maybe ready-made.
Yes.
Or maybe ready-made caribou skin pan, something like that, to help the sick person, their relative. And then Ongatkuk come over with the drums. He got his own drums. He got his own some kind of a sing. Nobody knows. He sing to it that sick person or something. But he have to went down. Before he start to do on the sick people. went down.
He lowers his head, he bends over.
Lowered his head, they bent over.
Yes.
Stayed there about 2 minutes without breath.
Oh.
Just like asleep.
Yes.
And then get up. He start talking. That his evil spirit in him start talking right through him, see? That's kind of a difficult when you watch him. I get scared, you know, myself.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll never start to singing for the for the caribou sometime, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Or for the good weather sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Something like that. And then I'm not going after they sing a little bit the thing, I don't know what kind of word they use, I don't understand. And then they told them, yeah, maybe husband or children in there, the mother were real sick. Well, 5 days, you not eat, you not drink. You eat all right. You not drink out of a bucket, of a pot of pot of a boiling meat. You know,
yes.
Don't eat soup out of it. 5 days, and then when you do, your mother dead. If you don't do what I say, my evil spirit want him to do that.
Is that right?
Yeah, at he commanded, and he make a just like a regulation not to use only 5 days.
Yes.
Before she got well.
Yes.
And she dead just like somebody shoot. One of you eat, which I say not to eat.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you're not supposed to use something what I saying to you not to use.
Yes.
In 5 days for women. In 4 days for men.
Oh.
A different between the men and the women when they were sick.
I see.
4 days for men not to do something, you know. Just one thing, not everything. Just one thing he commanded. The Amitko.
Yes.
Not to use that one 4 days for men. And for women, 5 days.
I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's most interesting. Yes. And it would seem to work sometimes.
Hmm?
It would seem to work that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in the hunters, they're hunting. Caribou hunting in the winter. Or summertime. It just seemed to a caribou herd, and then the caribou herd start to run toward them. When he come close to them, when the caribou see him, and he was just stand up and still and not move anymore when the caribou see the hunter, and he start singing.
Oh.
Yeah. Sing to the caribou, you know. I know one of them, my dad was...
Well, what would the caribou do?
Would it just get excited and it start to run toward the hunter.
And they come to him?
Come to him real close and then start to running around in a circle several times. And he shoot with a bow and arrow. See how many he want to kill. Just leave some, you know, and some of them went away. When he quit, shoot them with a bow and arrow.
How about, are we keeping you?
No, no.
How about in the winter, hunting caribou? Did you ever hunt caribou in the winter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
In the early days, did they build something like a corral to trap them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They make a scare. Pile up the nickerhead just like a man sitting over here. Pile him up over here. He has a big big hills in there. You don't see down here, you don't see over here.
Yes.
On the other side. And they make a scare down there just like a man was sitting.
Oh.
Not on the top.
Yes.
And then they open over here in the, on the end of the river toward the lake. And then they tried the caribou.
Well, this, and the man is made of the nigger thing, the tundra hummock things, the humps of moss.
Well, it's just
it's a scarecrow, a figure.
Yeah, just like a man. Put the head on and then pile up a nigger head, you know, just
yes.
like a man head in there. Put up one nigger head on top.
Yes, sure.
Just like a man sitting in there. So.
So that scares the caribou.
Yeah. And then they drive the caribou from long way and then shove them right through up on the hill. And then the caribou got excited. We know it that way. They see the man, several men down there sitting, and then go back over here. There was a several man down there sitting, and they start to run toward the river sometime, to the river, sometime to the lake, to the lakes, mostly to the lakes. And then they start swimming. And the people hide down here, the side of the stairs.